Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Money we don't have, to buy things we don't need, to impress people that we don't even like. Hello, I'm Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, brought to you every Sunday here on this local radio station. Thank you. Stay with me for the next 30 minutes. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, a whole lot of education, and never any type of manipulation. We're going to mention the fact that human solutions are no solutions, and divine solutions are the only solutions. So stick with me. The Flatline is all about learning God's wonderful problem-solving devices. There are 10 unique problem-solving devices that we call the Flatline, the main line of resistance, the forward line of troops. And you say, well, what is all of that about forward line of troops or main line of resistance? Well, it's a military analogy, just like the Bible uses one. When Paul talks about putting on the armor of God so that you could stand against the strategy of the devil, we're using a military analogy here, a metaphor. And we're talking about how you, as a Christian, can establish a main line of resistance in your life made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices. And if you learn them and you use them, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. That's why we always say that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. So the Flatline, we've been on the radio over 600 Sundays across the United States and climbing into more radio stations. We love to hear from our listeners, and we encourage you to write to us. You can go to our website, Rick Hughes Ministries, Rick Hughes Ministries, www.rickhughesministries.org, .org. Now, don't put .com, you'll get some barbecue guy, .org. And you can drop us a note, or you can see what we have available for resources and reading material. And anything on our site is free. We never charge for anything. We never solicit money. We never ask for money. Because I've always believed if God's in it, God will pay for it. You know, last week, if you were here listening, you heard me talk about the heart, the amazing thing called the heart. And today, I want to talk about a simple phrase in the Bible. And it's a simple phrase, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And I'd like to tell you what that means. You hear people talking about this sort of stuff a lot when they talk about someone being in Christ. We get this from Galatians 3, 26 through 29. If you listen to me now, I'm going to show you some things today that are pretty unique. Here's what Galatians 3, 26 through 29 says. For you are all sons of God by means of faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Now that's interesting. Because there are no racial divisions in the family of God. This is a direct reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as per Ephesians 4, 5 through 6. Listen as I read it to you. It says, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all of you. So by means of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are placed into union with Christ. Placed into union with Christ, not by means of water baptism. That's an identification that you're a Christian. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you are taken and put into union with Christ. So if you draw a circle and put a dot in the middle of the circle, and the circle represents Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. You're in the middle of that circle right there. What a wonderful thing to be in Christ Jesus. That places all believers into God's royal family. So I don't know you, and you probably don't know me, but we're all in the royal family of God together. No racial issues. One person, one race, one fellowship. We are in Christ Jesus. Now, once we're in Christ Jesus, there's some security there that you can bank on. We are secure in Christ. Go back to the circle with a dot in the middle of it, and that's what I was mentioning to you. When I say you're secure in Christ, listen to Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. This is a divine promise from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the anointed Savior of the world, that He will not abandon us. He will not throw us under the bus. He will not walk away from us. There is no doubt you, maybe at some time in your life, walked away from God. He still loves you. He has not cast you aside. If He had, you wouldn't be alive today. He still loves you. In spite of what you've done that shocked yourself, forget about it. If you can go to the Father and admit your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. It's Satan that wants to always bring that sin back up to you and make you feel guilty about it and tell you what a jerk you are because you did that. And he'll tell you, you're probably not a Christian or you wouldn't have done that sort of thing. And that's not true. If you can go to the Father and confess the sin, this is called rebound. This is problem-solving device number one in the Christian's life. We all sin. And if we rebound, 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So by going to the Father and naming your sin, you are cleansed and put back into fellowship with God. And so Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In John 10:28-29, talking about security in Christ. If you are in Christ, are you secure? Do you have eternal life for sure? Yes. In John 10:28-29, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. That's a divine promise. And 2 Timothy 2:13, even if we believe not, yet He, God, still will abide faithful. This is called the doctrine of eternal security. And in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Once you make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, you are in union with Christ. You're in God's royal family. And He's not going to turn His back on you. He's not going to disown you. He's not going to kick you out of the royal family. We have eternal security. Now, I can assure you that Satan would like to steal the joy of your salvation by getting you to doubt that you're really saved. He's good at that, to put a guilt trip on you. Never doubt God. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you are in Christ Jesus and you are secure. He will never leave you. No one will take you out of His Father's hand. And even if you believe not, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:13, He abides faithful. You know, there may come a time in a person's life when they accept Christ when they're young, and then as they get older and go to college and get under some sort of teaching, all of a sudden they begin to believe, well, maybe I was wrong and maybe God doesn't really exist. Will they not be surprised when they wind up in heaven? Because once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're in the circle. You're in the royal family of God. You are secure. Now, that doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want to do, because along with being in that family, there's discipline. And that's why in Hebrews 12:6, the Bible says those that God loves, He disciplines. Sometimes He has to scourge us with a whip. And it's not any fun being on the receiving end of divine discipline that is designed to give an attitude adjustment. It's designed to induce humility to you so that you will quit being arrogant and denying your sin, and you will confess your sin and restore yourself to fellowship with God. So security is in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. The minute we believe in Him, the minute we receive Him, we are placed into union with Him, into His body, the church, the royal family of God. There is also strength in Christ Jesus. Number one, there's security in Christ. Number two, there's strength in Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, and Paul wrote this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, a lot of athletes will have that tattooed on them. Some people will have that logo or that that verse printed on their refrigerator or on their Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is the strength in Christ Jesus we're talking about. But there is a requirement here. If you want to be able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, then you have to be able to live like He lived and think like He thought. What do I mean by that? You must do what the Bible says. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, how do you put on Christ? Am I saying He's like a robe and you put it on and you wear it? No. What I'm saying is Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we are to learn to think like He thought. And how does He think? 1 Corinthians 2:16 says the New Testament is the mind of Christ. So as we learn the Bible, we assimilate His attitude of humility, and we begin to think in terms of divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. This is taught in Romans 12:1-3, where it talks about stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think. But think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. If you're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, this means you put on His mindset. You begin to replicate His lifestyle. And you cannot replicate His lifestyle in the energy of the flesh. You cannot replicate His lifestyle without understanding what He thought, how He thought. And so if I put on Christ, I let Him live His life through me. Listen to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Those two words right there, He loved you and He gave Himself for you. Without that, we'd be in a big hurt. He loved you. He loved you before the world was even created. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, we love Him because He first loved us. There's no doubt about it. In eternity past, God the Father loved you. He knew who you were, what you would be, and He knew that the only way that He could have any fellowship with you was for His Son to be the substitute for you. He gave Himself for me, Paul said. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He wasn't dying for anything He did wrong. He was dying as our substitute. We should have been there. We're the ones that did the sin, not Him. But He was the perfect Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, and He takes away the sin of the world. So on that cross, someone was dying in your place. On that cross, He was giving His life as a ransom for your eternal security. And what He's asking you to do is that since He gave His life for you, He's asking you to give your life to Him, to let Him live His life through you. There is strength in Jesus Christ. If you let Him live through you, there will be difficulties and adversities. There will be temptations and there will be trials. And just as He passed those temptations and trials, you can do also when you let Him live through you. Here's another thought. Not only is there security in Jesus Christ, not only is there strength in Jesus Christ, but you're not a stranger to God, ever. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Actually, you now have a dual citizenship. You have a citizenship in heaven. The Greek word is the politeuma. Politeuma is your citizenship. You have a citizenship in heaven, just as you may have a citizenship in the United States of America if you're an American. A dual citizenship. A citizenship in heaven, in the eternal state, and a citizenship in the United States of America in the time state. So here you are with a dual citizenship, and you're not a stranger. God knows you. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. His Son lives inside of you and replicates His life through you. And Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We wait. Is He going to return? Yes, the Bible says He will. But the Bible indicates that no man knows the hour or the date. It simply tells us that we know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain together shall go to meet them in the clouds, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. This is called the exit resurrection, or some people call it the rapture of the church. But picture this. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, drivers begin to disappear. Cars begin to crash. Pilots are gone from airplanes. People begin to disappear and immediately go to be with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and then we which remain alive shall be caught up together with them. So, listen, what an amazing thing. If you're a student and you're at school and the rapture takes place, bingo, you're gone. They're going to find your clothes laying in the middle of the floor. And people are going to think you're running around naked in the school. Somebody will be calling the police trying to find you, and you won't be found because you have gone to be with Him. He came back. He called you. He summoned you, and He took you with Him to heaven. This is the amazing thing about this. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where you're going to wind up. From which we eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come back and get us. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, following the thought that we're not a stranger, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. There never is a time when God is not looking at you. There never is a place that you can go that God doesn't see you. And there never is anything that you do that God is not aware of. This is His omniscience. His omniscience knows everything. And He can see your heart. It says, whose heart is perfect towards Him. This is a demonstration of your positive volition, and that you are staying filled with God's Holy Spirit, and you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not staying filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're letting unconfessed sin reside in your life, you're not taking in God's Word consistently, you're just playing church, showing up, you know, the nod to God crowd, they call it. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. Maybe Wednesday, God. That is not the heart that is perfect towards Him. The heart that is perfect towards Him is the mind who is stayed upon Thee. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for you to have an attitude of dependency upon Him. He's looking for you to get up each day and say, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and have a superabundance of happiness in it because of His unfailing love and mercy every day." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil." And so God is very much aware of who you are. You are not a stranger to God. You are strong in Jesus Christ. You are secure in Jesus Christ. And in Christ Jesus, we have a completely new spiritual life. Using the word S again, spiritual life. We have a new spiritual life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was the prototype. He lived, in effect, the very first Christian life. And then he passed that operational type spiritual life to us with instructions. This is what he says in John 16:12. I still have things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is the Lord speaking to the disciples. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, the Spirit of truth is, and he will not speak of his own, not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak as he will tell you things to come. And he will tell you things to come. So the Lord Jesus Christ has given you a spiritual life. Now you're living a physical life right now, but there's another you inside there, and it's the spiritual life. It's the born-again man inside of you. There's the outward life that everyone can see, and there's the inward life that only God can see, the spiritual life. And so our Lord, telling those disciples, I'd like to tell you everything right now, but you can't bear it, meaning basically it would just freak you out. But don't worry, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, because he won't speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, that's from the Father, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. This may be what you're hearing now. God the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through the Word of God, speaking to you. I know I'm the speaker in the radio show, Rick Hughes, and the Flatline, but it's through the Scripture that God the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and it's through the Scripture that God the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's always been that way. In John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. This is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now listen, when you believed in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:13 says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to the circle with the dot in the middle of it. The reason you're not going to get out of that circle is you are sealed in that circle by God the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference between the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible warns us in Ephesians 4, don't grieve the Spirit of God. The Bible warns us in Thessalonians, don't quench the Spirit of God. When we sin, we break fellowship with God. And we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. We don't lose the sealing. We're still sealed in that circle. But we break fellowship with God. And that's why rebound, or problem-solving device number one, is essential. To restate the fellowship. So when we go and admit our sin to God, we resume the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you admit that you've sinned and you failed and you tell God what you've done, you are filled with the Holy Spirit until the next time you sin. And you say, that may only be an hour from now. That's right. It might be an hour. It might be 30 minutes. But you can regain the filling of the Holy Spirit every time you name your sin to God. Believe me, eventually you will grow. And eventually you will find that you may even be able to go for extended periods of time without sinning. You have a sin nature. You're going to sin. But it's possible to go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours without sinning. I promise you. So the Holy Spirit is there to teach you, to show you what is to come, and to help you live your spiritual life. Because it's a supernatural life. It cannot be lived in the energy of the flesh. If you're going to live the life that Christ lived, you have to know that he also was guided and empowered by means of the Holy Spirit. You can read Luke 4:1-14 for yourself, where the Holy Spirit guided Jesus Christ in his humanity. The unique thing about Christ is he was a God-man, undiminished deity, but true humanity in one body forever. In the body, He died for us. That's his humanity, not his deity. Now, finally, there's safety in Christ. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is the one that is in you than he that is in the world. In 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. There's safety in Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the divine seatbelt in Christ. I don't have to worry about my life. I don't have to worry about my future. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in the royal family of God. I'm in God's perfect, wonderful, safe hands. I don't have to worry about disaster. I don't have to worry about freak things happening to me. I know that God is in control. And if I will use problem-solving device number 3, called the faith rest drill, faith rest, standing on the promises of God, then even when I hit the stormy seas, I can remember where the Bible says there is no temptation come upon you that God is not aware of, and he will give you the ability to sustain it, the testing that you will go through. You are safe in Christ Jesus. Satan is not going to be able to take your life. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. There is safety in Christ Jesus. So tonight, when you go to sleep, remember that. Thank you for keeping me safe, Father. Thank you for keeping my family safe. And please keep us safe in the future as a family and as a nation. That is the most wonderful thing in the world, the safety in Christ Jesus. Well, this is your host, Rick Hughes. And I would like to say thank you for listening to me on the Flatline. Come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
DNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, asking you to stay with me for the next few minutes, basically 30 minutes. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, all done with no manipulation. That's right, no hidden agendas here. We don't try to con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not asking you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. This show is simply about God's Word, me trying to give you accurate information, not human speculation, but accurate information from the infallible canon of Scripture called the Bible. If I can do that, if I can help you orient and adjust to God's plan, that's my idea. That's what I'm trying to do. Verify it, identify it, and then you have to make the decision. You want to orient and adjust to that plan, or you want to stay on your plan? You know, I always like to ask people, how's it going? How are you doing with your own plan? Because it's a wonderful thing that God has a plan for your life. I'm going to show you something rather amazing today. The amazing things about God that sometimes we don't even realize, we don't even know. But thank you for listening to The Flatline. And again, if you ever desire to hear any of these programs again, you can always contact me through the web. And that's rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. And you can contact us, send us an email, and say, I'd like to have that study that you taught, and we will send it to you on an MP3 or a CD. It'll play in your automobile or play on your computer. We also have many books that we've written. You can view them on the website. They're all free. There's never a charge for any of that. We've given away thousands of books to people just like yourself. And we enjoy hearing from our listeners. I've gotten several fantastic letters lately. Thank you for writing to me. Thank you for telling me how the Word of God has encouraged you. And thank you for telling me how you've gone on to pursue more depth in your spiritual life, and you've found a real qualified pastor. You've gotten under that man, and you've started to study and grow, and your family's growing. I love to hear those sort of things. I love to hear from people that are really growing in grace and have found their right pastor, and they are sticking with it, and they're becoming part of what we call the pivot. That's the core group of mature believers that deliver a nation in time of disaster. Much like what Gideon did in the Old Testament in the Bible. Just a few men, 300 men, that's all God needed. But God did the work. And we need in America a strong pivot of mature believers. Not a military pivot, not something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual pivot, a pivot of mature believers. Because as goes the believers in a nation, so goes the nation. And so if God wants to check out the United States of America to see if he wants to continue blessing us or not, he's going to look at our core group of believers to see, are there mature believers down there? You remember 2 Chronicles, don't you? If my people that are called by my name, that's the believers in that land. If they will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayers and heal their land. Also in Hosea 4:6, we studied why a nation is destroyed. And Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you've rejected knowledge, I'll reject you, and you'll no longer be priests for me. You know, it's important that you understand the spiritual life operates on knowledge. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have two lives. You live a physical life. That's the life people see, and the way you dress, where you live, what you do. And you live the spiritual life. That's the invisible life. That life is lived in your head, in your soul, in the invisible part of you. And that's what God can check out. When he wants to check you out, he's not looking at where you live. He's not looking at what you're wearing. He's looking at what you're thinking. And he's wanting to know if you are occupied with the person of Christ. When the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, this is telling us something. That we need to renovate our thinking. We need to change the way we think. And as a mature believer, you have to think divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is what mature believers operate on. Human viewpoint is what the rest of the world operates on, and most of the time it's pure evil because it's manufactured and spread by Satan. Human viewpoint, you know, like the secret to happiness is having a lot of things. The secret to happiness is knowing all the right people. See, that's human viewpoint. That's not divine viewpoint. And I'll tell you today what divine viewpoint says about the secret to happiness. So today, if you're interested, if you like learning about God's Word, you're in the right place. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a radio host. We've been doing this show over 10 years. My job is to direct you to a well-qualified pastor so you can learn, so you can grow. And I can encourage you. I can identify you as a person that has hunger. We call that positive volition, a person that's hungry, wanting to know more about God. Unfortunately, not a lot of people are hungry. I mean, they like pastries and they like cake and pies and cookies and steaks and fish and chicken, but they don't like being fed the Word of God. Not too many people. When I run across someone like maybe you, you love it. You love learning about God. You love hearing about God. You love getting into His Word and seeing the new things every day that He prepares for you. You're my kind of person. You're the person I'm looking for. And I thank you for being that way. Today I want to read to you a verse written by the Apostle Paul out of the book of Philippians. And let's see if I can pull it down here, get my Bible close, and not knock over all the microphones. Here's what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I'm going to back up and read verse 11 before I get into verse 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's the key word, to be content. And then he said these words, and it's important. He said, I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's what I want to do today with this verse. I want to start off with the part here in this verb where he says, I have learned. I have learned. Verse 11, Philippians chapter 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. In whatever state I am in this state, to be content. Learn is a Greek verb called manthano. Manthano. And we use the Greek verb because this is written in Greek. It was not written in English, so we go back to the original word. We want to see what it means. Manthano means to increase in knowledge. There's a word that comes after this that you might have heard before, mathetes. You say, what's mathetes? He's a learner or a disciple. The disciples were called mathetes because they were manthano. They were learning from Jesus Christ. They had a face-to-face instructor for 3 years before he went to be with the Father. There are three ways to learn. You can learn by experience, and that's like an apprentice. You can learn by example, and that's like by watching your mom or your dad or your grandfather or your grandmother. Or you can learn by study and get it on your own. However you learn, you must learn God's Word. So here is a couple of principles I would like to give you about I have learned. Number one, the less you know, the easier it is to be manipulated by Satan. Paul said this in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of the devil. He said, put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the sword of the Spirit, put on the breastplate of righteousness, pick up the shield of faith. He used a military metaphor, much like we do on the flat line, using that 10 problem-solving devices as a flat line or a protector of your soul. It's a military term for the main line of resistance. So this is not anything new. But if you don't learn God's Word, then you are easily manipulated. And this is exactly what Satan wants to do. The Bible tells us that he can even transform himself into an angel of light. And sometimes you think you're hearing the real stuff and you're not. He says he even has ministers that do this. And I think the worst thing in the world for believers is organized religion. Because organized religion sometimes wants to tell you that if you want to go to heaven, you got to be good. And if you're not good enough, then you're not going to go to heaven. And that's not how you get to heaven. The Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of your works, lest anyone should brag about it. And so there it is, clear as a bell. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it's grace. God gives this gift to you, the gift of eternal life, by means of His grace. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through Him. Here's what you must learn. You don't have any righteousness. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. He, Jesus Christ, is perfectly righteous. So if we come to the cross and we believe in Him and receive Him as our Savior, He gives us His righteousness. How does He do that? Listen again. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so we would be made the righteousness of God through Him. Why do we need to be made the righteousness of God? Because God is absolutely righteous, and God's justice judges anything that's not the equivalent of that righteousness. The justice of God is the guardian of the righteousness of God. So if you come to God with minus R, no righteousness, and you say, but I've been good, I didn't lie, I didn't cheat, I didn't steal, I did all this stuff at church, but I never trusted in the work of Christ. It was never faith alone in Christ alone. It was always faith plus something else, faith plus baptism, faith plus giving up RC colas, faith plus not eating any more peanuts, faith plus whatever. When you add something to faith, you cancel it out here. It's faith alone in Christ alone. You have to remember that. So if you don't learn this, then you wind up teaching someone else that if you want to go to heaven, it's faith plus not doing something. And then you say, well, you know, if you sin and you do that, brother, you're not going to go to heaven. That's not true. The only thing that keeps anybody out of heaven is not believing in Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would never perish but have everlasting life. There is the truth. So you have to learn that. You have to learn how to express what happened to you. It's hard to tell someone how to become a Christian if you cannot even express what happened to you. And point two, we can learn truth, or we can learn a lie, false. We can learn true information or false information. It depends on what you're hearing. And again, you must get under someone who can teach you truth, someone that won't give you a lot of ritual with no reality to it. Point three, perception comes by one of three ways. You know, there are two things required to grow, perception and then application. Perception comes either by rationalism, empiricism, or what we call pisticism. Rationalism is the rationality of why certain things are like they are. Empirical data, scientific data, empiricism, and pisticism from the Greek word pistis, which is faith. So we learn by means of rationalism, empiricism, or by means of faith. The spiritual life operates by means of faith. The Bible clearly says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so what is your faith based on? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more of the Word of God you hear, the more of the Word of God you learn, the more faith you should have. That's how it works. So that's called spiritual growth. And in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer, whoever wrote that, said, there are a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you can't handle them because you're still a baby and you need a bottle. He said you can't handle a steak. And someone needs to go back and teach you again the first basic principles of your spiritual life. That means that there are basic doctrines that everybody has to learn. We have to learn about the doctrine of salvation, how we got saved and why we stay saved. We learn the doctrine of spirituality, what it means to be a spiritual believer and what it means to be a mature believer. I mean, Billy Graham is a mature believer, you would say. Is he also a spiritual believer? Yes. Can you be a spiritual believer? Yes, the same way Billy Graham is. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, you're both spiritual believers. But you might not be as mature as him. Maybe you don't have the content of doctrine in your soul that he has. So there are different levels of maturity. Sometimes we have a baby believer. Sometimes we have a student believer, and one is growing. And sometimes we have a mature believer. There are three different Greek words for this. Brethos, technon, and weos. So God recognizes there are different levels of maturity. But there's only one level of spirituality. Either you are filled with God's Holy Spirit by means of rebound, problem-solving device number one, or you are controlled by your old sin nature and you're carnal and in the flesh. There's no in-between. You have to remember that. The only way you can learn that is to hear someone teach that to you. And sometimes it has to be taught over and over and over again. This is called repetition. And some people say, I don't like repetition. Well, unfortunately, that's what makes it stick. If you join the military, you're going to learn how to march, and they're going to tell you about face, forward march, you know, right face, left face, and you're going to do it till you can do it in your sleep. And anyone that's ever been in the military still remembers all those cadence and all those orders because repetition. And this means simply that the rate of learning has to exceed the rate of forgetting. There is a rate of forgetting. If you're getting older, you know what I'm talking about. You forget certain things. Some of you can't even remember people's names. And you have to put them, you know, what was that guy's name? Honey, you remember that guy's name? And it was a good friend, but it just, your rate of learning has to be above your rate of forgetting. And therefore, if you're going to increase in your faith, if you're going to glorify God, you must study His Word. Here's another principle. Here's the first one. Let's go back. The less you know, the easier it is to manipulate you. Secondly, you can learn true or false information. Third, how do we perceive information? By rationalism, empiricism, or epistemism. And our next principle, four. You can learn by inquiry or you can learn by observation. Learning by inquiry means research and observation means watching. And so there is a way to learn by watching. Watching mature believers, how they handle things. And this is something people don't realize. You are being watched. Now here's a shocker for you. Not only are you being watched by those in your periphery, but you're being watched by the angels. The angels don't have the spiritual life you have. They don't go through what you go through. They're not saddled with a sin nature. They don't have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father all living inside of them. They're in heaven. They're in the presence of God. They're not in the devil's world. So here you are in the devil's world, saddled with an old sin nature, indwelled by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're watching you. You're in a theater. You got to remember that. And so they learn by observation, and other people learn by observing you too. That's why Paul talks about the law of liberty, and he said, all things are not expedient. He said, I'll give up certain things if it discourages you. And you can learn by inquiry or asking. I'd like to tell you something to ask your pastor. I'd like for you to ask your pastor a simple question. Tell me how to be a good Christian. That's all you got to do. Get him alone, ask him, tell me how to be a good Christian. If he doesn't tell you right off the bat, you cannot be a good Christian until you learn how to let the Holy Spirit control your life. If he doesn't tell you that, then he probably doesn't know that. If he tells you, you have to pray every day, brother. You have to read your Bible, brother. You have to tithe, brother. You have to come to church consistently, brother. I mean, those are things that good Christians do. But how do I become a good Christian? Maybe he doesn't know. And if you've never even heard him before, church, remind people that they cannot sit there with unconfessed sin in their life because the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved and they won't get anything out of the service. If he doesn't bring something like that up, maybe he doesn't know it. Ask him that question. Don't embarrass him. Get him alone and ask him, how do I become a good Christian? And then listen to what he tells you. Does he tell you, you must be filled with the Spirit before you do anything? And does he tell you how to be filled with the Spirit? And that's through rebound. Every time you confess a known sin to God, you are filled with the Spirit. Every time you sin, mental attitude sin, sin of the tongue, overt sin, every time you sin, you quench the Spirit and you grieve the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He seals you until the day of redemption. That's clear in Ephesians 1:13. But the sealing and the filling are different. Here's the next principle. Satan is in the business of deception. He wants to dumb you down. This goes back to what I told you first. The less you know, the easier it is to manipulate you. So Satan wants to dumb you down. How does he do that? Well, he would like to get you distracted so you don't study the Bible. So you don't get into qualified pastor's church. You don't go learn about God's Word. He'll give you whatever you want just to keep you away from that. He wants to dumb you down. Because if he dumbs you down, you're not an effective representative of Jesus Christ in your life. Here's another principle. True worship is discovery and awe expressed in various ways. discovery and awe expressed in various ways. Well, how do you discover things? You learn about them. So the more you learn about God, the more in awe you become. You are amazed at His grace and His goodness and His mercy. And you express your awe in various ways through song, prayer, praise. It's important you understand that. 7. We never stop learning about God. Never. We never stop learning about God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick you are. You never stop learning about God. All right, now let's go to the next principle. The first sign of maturity and capacity for blessing is you being a content person. You having contentment. Listen to what Paul said. Let's go back to our verse. He said, I have learned to be content. Whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. That's prosperity. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Contentment is capacity for life. In Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, if I were you, I would like to be around a mature believer whose cup runneth over. I have experienced that, and I can tell you it's a wonderful thing to have blessing by association. And I can tell you it's a horrible thing to have cursing by association. So look at who you associate with. If you're associating with mature believers, then you're going to get blessing by association. As their cup overflows, some of it's going to flow over onto you. But if you're associating with reversionistic believers, people that don't care about God's word, then the discipline in their life will overflow into your life. Remember that. If you're going to hang out with people, you want to hang out with those people that are mature believers, those people whose cup runneth over and they have capacity for blessing in their life. In Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. These are the logistical grace provisions that God gives the mature believer. As you grow in grace, He promises to provide every logistical need that you have. When He provides that, then you focus on Him. We want to go into some things, and here's one verse, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I can put a caveat there, if you have the capacity. Delight is the Hebrew word anag. It's what we call the hiphael imperative. It means it's reciprocal action. God will reciprocate what you do. If you love Him, He loves you. The Bible says that in 1 John 4. We love Him because He first loved us. And so if God sees you delighting yourself in Him, then He's happy to be delighted in you. And He gives you the desires of your heart. Much like a father would give a child the desires of the heart. But He's not going to give you something that will destroy you. You wouldn't give a 6-year-old child a Corvette Stingray and say, drive it, kid. I mean, you may want something that'll destroy you. We've got to look at that. We've got to examine this and see why He doesn't give you certain things, because you don't have the capacity to handle it yet. There's much He wants to give you. Are you content with what you have? That's the key. Because without contentment, there's no capacity. I hope you're listening and I hope you're learning. I hope I'm not too boring or too dull for you. Please stay with me. Please keep listening. And please come back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
You've been listening to The Flatline on KCNR, Shasta, Redding. Stay tuned for the news, followed by Jefferson State of Mind.
News This Hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says there is no evidence of terrorism behind the explosion that injured more than 24 people in a Manhattan neighborhood last night.
There's significant property damage on both sides of the explosion. 29 people were injured. That there were no fatalities is something to give thanks for.
None of the injuries were life-threatening, and all of those people have been released from the hospital. Meanwhile, police say that a suspicious device discovered near the scene of the blast was safely removed early today. The investigation continues. Police in St. Cloud, Minnesota say a knife-wielding suspect who was dressed in a private security uniform and made references to Allah attacked at least 8 people during a mass stabbing at a mall. He was shot dead by an off-duty police officer. More is being learned about this as the hours go by, we're told. Elections are underway today in Russia. They're choosing members of the national parliament.